Hi there, everyone. I'm pretty sure you were not expecting this episode again. I'm sure you were expecting the next Redstone episode, but I'm still sick, unfortunately, and the script is not yet done. And it's also quite unfortunate is that I still don't know when I'm gonna get well. So instead of waiting for myself to get well to finish the episode and give the shout out to people then for the feedback, I'm going to do it right now, okay? So let's just 'cause I've been receiving a few emails lately, and I think it's been long overdue for me to give these people shout outs. So I'll just be doing it from earliest to latest. The first one is from a Marcus Fraserhurst. He says, "I like your podcast. It's quite cool. I play on Bedrock and I find your podcast very helpful. On my Servial world, sorry, I can't spell too well. I just defeated the Ender Dragon using your tips. Bye." Well, thank you very much, Marcus, for the positive feedback. And good job on defeating the Ender Dragon, the main boss of the game. Next up, you'll have to fight the Wither. And the Wither is probably a little bit more difficult than the Ender Dragon for some. Anyway, the next one from Otis King. He says, "I love this podcast and it's very informative and helpful. Sorry for the brevity, I wrote this on my phone, Otis." Thank you very much, Otis. Yeah, I would like to thank everyone as well for finding the podcast helpful and informative. I've been doing my best, really. Yeah, thankfully it's turned out all right. Our third email is from Aiden Hale. He says, "Hey, I love your podcast and I was wondering if you could make more and what time you would make it. Anyway, I love your podcast and I love Minecraft, and even though I've been playing for years, you still help me out. Thank you." Thank you, Aiden. This email was sent on May 20, so that was during my month-long break. So I guess that's why he was wondering when I would make more. And well, I am making more. Because of the, nice audience. Once again, thank you very much. And it's great to hear that, even old, not necessarily old, what do I call it? Long time, there you go. Long time Minecraft fans and players are still learning from me. This next one, this was a later email from Marcus Fraserhurst again. Because he sent his first email on April 29, and then he sent one again on June 6. He says, "I really like your podcast. I would fall asleep to it, but I don't want to miss anything. Bye." Thank you once again, Marcus. Yeah, don't fall asleep. You have to pay attention, with all the tips and stuff. And our last one, actually last two emails, are from Timothy Donovan. How do I pronounce his last name? Pugh, like Pug? Huh? I have no idea, I'm sorry. He says on June 8th, "Being sick is fine. Stop apologizing for being sick. If school is too much, just say you can't podcast and don't worry about it." And then his next one is, "P.S. You don't need to apologize for being sick from stress." Thank you, Timothy. Yeah, I still do apologize, and because That's because I'm not able to deliver as much content as I used to earlier episodes, you know. Actually, ever since March, we've been on our summer break, and our school year starts in was it in August? Yeah, we start school in August again. So it's still going to be a couple of months before I get back to school. Anyway, yeah, thank you very much, Timothy. I am sick, and I'm about to defy Timothy right now. I'm sick and I'm sorry for being sick, okay? Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not able to make that much content. But in the meantime, while I'm resting, since I don't really have a lot to do and I can't really do a lot, I've been playing a bit of Minecraft and I've been having fun with the new 1.17 update. So today, I'm just going to finish up everything that has happened in the previous unscripted updates, you know. This will be like the culmination to all of that. So, apparently there was a release candidate number 2, which was released literally right when, like, on the day when I finished, like the day after I finished recording the previous episode, there was a release candidate number 2, where it, quote, fixed a few critical issues. Right, and then after that, there was the Caves and Cliffs update on June 8th, 2021, which adds a whole lot of things. Rather, is the Caves and Cliffs Part 1 update. Yeah, Caves and Cliffs Part 2 is 1.18. So, I'm going to enumerate everything that's been added, and I'm just gonna give my thoughts on it. So let's hope I'm able to do that. So this is in Minecraft's official article. It's here, a cave update with a side of cliffs. That's right, the Caves and Cliffs Update Part 1 is launching today. Now you can finally swim with the glow squid, fight alongside the axolotls, and get rammed off a mountain by a goat. You can also build with new blocks like copper, pointed dripstone, and moss, hang some hanging roots and cave vines, and marvel at the new ore textures. Light up your homes, caves, mineshaft, and lives with the glow berry. Build a spyglass and peep your next adventure, or just keep track of what that creeper over yonder is doing. Wait, what is it doing? Is it getting closer, or is this spyglass just really good? Have fun with part one. And I don't know if I'm pretty sure this isn't correct punctuation, but it's an exclamation point and then a period. Anyway, let's do this. So, features. There's now dripstone block and pointed dripstone, which are pretty nice, actually. Yeah, pretty nice decoration blocks. Very nice for decorating some like natural builds and maybe some sort of evil like bat cave type thing. And it added block of amethyst, budding amethyst, amethyst cluster, and amethyst bud. Yeah, those amethyst geodes are really nice actually. Added block of raw iron, copper, and gold. Yes, and also raw copper, raw iron, and raw gold items. These ones I actually quite like because you're definitely a lot more efficient when you're mining iron, copper, and gold, because obviously when they drop only the ore, you only get one of them once you smelt them. But you can use fortune to get more raw copper, iron, and gold, and that would make it nicer, I suppose. Yeah, more fruitful to mine. And it added candles, of course, and copper, and deep slate, and glow lichen, also lava cauldrons, lightning rods, lush caves block, Powder Snow. Actually, Powder Snow, I really like it because it is the first ever block, and so far the only block, that can be dispensed with a dispenser. Which is, I think, is a really, it's, I think it's a really interesting concept. And I'm interested in seeing some redstone contraptions involving that over the next few months, maybe years. There's the axolotl, which I think is really cute. Yeah, I've seen axolotls in real life. They're really nice animals. I wanted to keep one as a pet before in like 2017 or 2018, but over here, since I'm, you know, from Asia, the climate is pretty hot, and axolotls only survive at something like, what was it, 20 degrees Celsius or something? 10 degrees Celsius, I don't really remember. So, we were not able to find any kind of industrial cooler kind of thing that would be able to cool an aquarium in order to suit the axolotl's needs. So, unfortunately, we were not able to get an axolotl. There's also the glow squid, which I think is pretty nice. I like the glow aspect of it. And there's a goat. The goat, I think, really nice addition because there are not many mobs that are endemic to mountains. I think goats are the only mobs that can only be found in mountains. Are they? I'm pretty sure. And again, they're pretty cute animals, and it's nice when you see them, like, ramming other things. The spyglass. Spyglass, up next, is the thing. It's kind of like Optifine. Yeah, but then with some stuff that's with, like, a frame, and it can be crafted, and an official thing in the game now. Whatever. It's basically Optifine. Tinted glass. Yeah. Tinted glass is pretty nice, actually, for making farms. Because, for example, if you want to watch what's going on in a farm, and you want to put glass all around it, obviously, if you light up that area around the farm, the mobs will not be able to spawn there properly because the light will shine through. So tinted glass, there's no light that shines through it, so it would keep it pitch black, which I think is a really nice addition. Next, a shulker. Hitting a shulker with a bullet can make a new shulker. Yes, I like this because it makes shulkers now renewable. Yeah, shulker shells are now a renewable resource, which I think is really nice, especially for communities like multiplayer servers, because they're able to get more shulker boxes and such in a much more efficient way, rather than having to go like 3,000 blocks north to just be able to find an end city. You know, once on a server, I think it was Aplays season 2 or yeah. I think once, like, I went on just an absolute rampage getting elytras and shulker shells to sell to people in a way such that I had to travel like 20,000 blocks to go to the next one. Yeah, it was just insane. It was a very dangerous trip, and I made sure to keep everything in an ender chest so that in case I die, you know, nothing happens. Nothing bad happens. And given our pretty bad Wi-Fi over here, it's quite evident that I wanted to protect my items in case, for example, I lag and then I fall in the void, you know what I mean? Next, there are additions to Wandering Trader and Mason Trades, which is nice. You know, trading, very nice. And bundles and choker box items will drop their contents when destroyed, which I think is an extremely nice addition because, for example, if you have, like, netherite inside a shulker box and your shulker box falls in lava, that netherite will not survive, even though the netherite survives lava supposedly when it's outside the shulker box. So now, yeah, the netherite will get out of the shulker box and it will not burn in the lava. And infested block destroy times were changed in such that they take, I think it was half the time as compared to a normal block. There's new shipwreck and mineshaft loot. Loot is always nice. And dirt paths can now be made using a shovel on dirt, podzol, mycelium or cursed dirt, coarse dirt, and of course grass. And I think that this is just a monumental change for designers, Minecraft builders and such. Because let me tell you a story about Aplay's SMP once again. I had to terraform an entire mountain at the beginning of Season 2 in order to make way for the shopping district. And because of that, since I flattened out the entire area, the dirt there, it was dirt, it's not grass. And since, at the time, since we were just starting out, we used grass paths, I had to wait. I had to sit there and wait until all of the dirt turned into grass, and it was just very, very boring. Very, very boring thing. Just waiting for the dirt to turn to grass, you know? So, yeah, it's great that you can turn dirt, podzol, mycelium, and coarse dirt into paths now, which is, yeah. And now, drowned zombies, they no longer drop gold ingots. Now they only drop copper ingots. I think it's a relevant change. I still remember the old meme once where the pirate, the captain from, I forgot where the image was from, but he said, like, you know, we were looking for copper and we found gold. Yeah, so apparently the drowned zombies, they only found copper this time. And yeah, you know, I used to have a drowned farm, and I used to keep that because, mainly because of the gold. I did not want any of the tridents, I did not want any of the rotten flesh, all I wanted was the gold. So now, if I continue using that farm, I would no longer get gold, I would now get copper. So that's a thing now. And experience orbs, now they sometimes merge in large quantities, when in large quantities, to improve performance, which I think is good, because, you know, once, my zombie piglin farm, right, I had a zombie piglin farm, zombified piglin farm, using those nether portals that makes the game really glitchy, and I left it there, and apparently I was not in front of the platform, in front of the platform where I had to collect the experience, and when I got back after like 2 or 3 hours, my game was literally 1 frame a second, because there was just so much experience on the ground that, you know, it was just insane. 1 frame a second, maybe like 2 frames a second, sure, but yeah, I swear, it was just such a painful experience, because I had to quit the game, restart my Switch, and then boot it up again, and then try at least to get the experience and turn off the farm, though it was still very difficult. Anyway, holding down the space bar now increases the scroll speed in the credits. Mine carts and rails now work in water, which is really nice for people who make like amusement parks or those kinds of things, and roller coasters. Particles now appear when pistons break blocks, which is nice. There are reordered blocks in the building blocks tab in the creative menu. There's a new order in the redstone tab in the creative menu. And simple firework rockets with 1 gunpowder can now be created using the recipe book, which is nice. Accessibility. There is an alternative solid black background color for the Mojang Studios loading screen, which can be toggled with the monochrome logo accessibility option. Now, let's take a look at the new advancements. There's whatever floats your goat, which happens when you float in a boat with a goat. That rhymes, float in a boat with a goat. Wax on and wax off for applying and removing honeycombs from a copper block, respectively. The cutest predator for catching an axolotl in a bucket. The healing power of friendship for teaming up with an axolotl and winning a fight. Glow and behold for making a sign glow. Light as a rabbit for walking on powdered snow with leather boots. Surge protector for having a lightning strike a lightning rod near a villager without setting the area on fire. Is it a bird? Is it a blue? Sorry. Is it a bird? Is it a balloon? And is it a plane for looking at a parrot, a ghast, and an ender dragon through a spyglass, respectively? And yeah, that's about it for the advancements in here now. Now these next ones in the article, they're basically enumerations of the new things. So I'm not really sure if I should still touch up on these, if I should still talk about these, because I've talked about these many, many times before in the previous in the previous unscripted updates episodes. Yeah, I talked about these a few times before. So I'm still gonna talk about them now, but I'm just going to breeze through them because it's a lot, and you know, I'm kind of tired today. It's 12:17 a.m. and I just want to get this over with, to be honest. Yeah, sorry about that. Though, please stay tuned to the end, or if you want, skip to the end, because I have a very, very important announcement. I should have said this in the beginning of the episode, but I have a very important announcement at the end of the episode. Amethyst blocks. So amethyst comes in block form inside the geodes in two ways, in the forms of block of amethyst and budding amethyst. All types, clusters included, create beautiful sounds when you walk on them, break them, place them, or hit them with a projectile. I think it's nice, dude. Like the sounds when you do stuff to them. I think it sounds really, really nice. Yeah. Amethyst clusters, they grow from budding amethyst, which can be found in amethyst geodes. They have four stages: small, medium, large amethyst buds, and amethyst cluster. Clusters can only grow when they're placed on budding amethyst. Fully grown clusters drop 4 shards or more with fortune, and they drop 2 amethyst shards when broken by hand, piston, or other means. Clusters can be silk touched at any stage. Amethyst geodes, they can be found anywhere underground in the overworld, and they have an outer layer of a new stone called smooth basalt, which I like. I like the look of all of these new stones, actually. And the other layer is calcite. And they have an inner layer of amethyst blocks. Amethyst shards, they are obtained when breaking amethyst clusters with hand, piston, or other means. You can get 2 of them. And with a pickaxe, you can get 4 amethyst shards or more with fortune. And there's also the axolotl. The axolotl, I think, once again, really nice addition. I think the ocean has been made more diverse, it's definitely been made more diverse, and it sheds light on this endangered species. They're amphibious. They spawn in underground water that is in total darkness, and it must have stone, granite, diorite, andesite, tuff, or deep slate below it. Axolotls love tropical fish. If you give them a bucket of tropical fish, you can breed them. And they'll swim around you, with you, if you're holding a bucket of tropical fish in either hand. When a player kills a mob that the axolotl was attacking or being attacked by, the axolotl will show its appreciation by granting the player temporary regeneration and removing mining fatigue, which is great for ocean monuments, because, obviously, as you know, Elder Guardians give you mining fatigue, which essentially prevents you from mining anything altogether, because if you mine with mining fatigue, it just takes forever to mine something, and I don't think you'll have the patience to do it. And if the player has more than 2 minutes of regeneration effect left already, the Axolotl will not grant some more regeneration, unfortunately. And you can pick it up in a water bucket. Axolotls will always chase after and attack squids, glow squids, tropical fish, cod, salmon, pufferfish, drowned, guardians, the elder guardians, so they kind of guard you basically. But they don't like being out of water. They'll dry up, and after 5 minutes, they'll begin taking damage and drown. An axolotl will not dry up if they're in water or on land with rain. Sometimes when an axolotl takes damage while inside water, it'll pretend to be dead so that it stops being attacked. There are four common varieties and one rare blue variety of axolotl. And as I've mentioned, they spawn in underground water sources in total darkness above natural stone blocks. And they have a 2 minute cooldown after hunting non-hostile targets, which are squids, glow squids, tropical fish, cod, salmon, pufferfish. And they will prioritize targeting hostile mobs over hunting. Now, bone meal has a new sound. When used, it's a crinkly, crunchy sound. Budding amethyst. On any side of a budding amethyst block where there is air or water, where there is an air or water source block, a small amethyst bud will eventually grow, and these buds can only grow when attached to budding amethyst and will grow until they become amethyst clusters. Now, the building blocks tab. All ores have been reordered to be in the same location in the creative inventory, and compact forms of raw and refined underground materials have been reordered. By the way, I just noticed this is organized in alphabetical order. So that's why, things are like that, small things and big things and small things, etc. Yeah, that's why. This is gonna be pretty long. I'm about to reach the 30-minute mark, but I think I can stop by the time we get to the letter D. I think I might be able to squish C in here, but let's see. Let's see. Candles. Candles come in all 16 colors in one uncolored variant. Up to four can be placed in one block, and you can put them in water, but obviously you can't light them. And you can put one on a cake. And they can only be placed if there's a solid surface below, but will remain even though the surface below is removed. You can make them float like in Hogwarts. Cauldrons. They can now be filled with obviously water. They can be filled with lava and powdered snow buckets, which is great. Cauldrons filled with lava give a redstone signal with strength 3 with a comparator. Copper blocks. You can craft them with 9 copper ingots, and you can make cut copper stairs, and cut copper slabs. And the stone cutter can be used to craft these variants. Using a honeycomb, you can wax copper blocks. And you do that by right-clicking them or dispensing honeycombs into them. Copper ore can be found in ore blobs around the overworld, like iron and coal, though this is not the final generation of copper for copper. And you can smelt copper ore to get a copper ingot, but if you mine it without Silk Touch, it will drop 2 to 3 raw copper or more, I'm pretty sure, with Fortune. And I'll stop it there. I'll take a quick break and I'll be back in a bit. I'll see you in about 2 seconds. Bye-bye. Hi everyone. I'm back. It's been like an hour or something. It's 1:22 a.m. here right now, on June 13th, which is when this episode is set to release. It's set to release about 10.5 hours from now at 12 o'clock my time, 12 noon. So yeah, let's get on with this. Let's get this done with right now, because we still have quite a long way to go. So, Deep Slate. So deep slate can be found in the deepest parts of the underground, and it's slightly tougher to mine than normal stone. And similar to how stone drops cobblestone, deep slate will drop cobble deep slate, except when it is mined with a silk touch pickaxe. And like cobblestone, cobble deep slate can be used to craft basic tools, furnaces, and brewing stands. And there are these certain blocks that can be used with deep slate, or rather that can be crafted with deep slate: cobble deep slate slab, stairs and wall, polished deep slate and its slab, stairs and wall, deep slate bricks, slabs, stairs and walls, deep slate tiles, slabs, stairs and walls, and chiseled deep slate bricks and tiles. Or rather, chiseled deep slate, cracked deep slate bricks, and cracked deep slate tiles. And there's also an infested variant in the underground. And like stone, or rather like how you can smelt cobblestone into stone, if you smelt cobble deep slate, you get deep slate. And when an ore is generated in the same place as deep slate, it will create a deep slate variant of that ore, which is twice as tough to mine as normal ores. And now, let's move on to dripstone, which is a decorative block that can be crafted with four pointed dripstone. Now, pointed dripstone forms a stalactite when placed on the ceiling, or a stalagmite on the floor. They can be combined to form longer stalactites and stalagmites, and they merge if the tips are next to each other unless you press shift while placing. And stalagmites will break if not attached to something below. And stalagmites are sharp, and so landing or jumping on them hurts. Stalactites fall down if not attached to anything above, and being hit by a falling stalactite also hurts because they're sharp. Stalactites drip water, and a stalactite with a water source above the ceiling will gradually fill a cauldron below with water. However, you can change that to lava. You can now have infinite lava, wherein a stalactite with a lava source above the ceiling will fill a cauldron below with lava after a while, and thrown tridents break pointed dripstone. I think this is a really interesting addition, infinite lava. Minecraft has talked about infinite lava sources a few times before, because it's a source of energy. You know, lava is a source of energy in which you can use for smelting and such. And so, originally, Minecraft did not really want to have an infinite lava source to exist, really. But now that they have it, I'm really interested in seeing how the community will react to it. You know, so far it's been quite positive, but for sure there are some exploits and such. And now let's talk about how dripstone grows. So if a stalactite is hanging from a dripstone block with a water source above, it will slowly grow both the stalactite from above and a stalagmite from below, and growth speed is random but very slow. A single growth step can take several Minecraft days. A stalactite will only grow up to 7 blocks long, and it will only cause stalagmite growth if the floor or stalagmite below is within 10 blocks. If the stalactite tip is inside water, it will not drip, and therefore won't trigger any growth. And if the tip is inside water, it will not receive drops, and therefore will not be grown by a dripping stalactite. Rather, stalagmite tip, not stalactite tip. And same thing if there is any fluid between the two tips. And any stalactite or stalagmite will never grow into a fluid. Now let's talk about glow lichen. It's a dim light source that generates in caves, and you can use shears to pick it up or bone meal to spread it along block surfaces. I think it's a nice addition because caves are very dark, you know? And obviously, there are some animals and plants that thrive in dark areas. Of course, mobs. And for example, like in the deep, like really deep into the water, like a kilometer deep, you would see, you know, glowing things like fish and plants that glow, right? So the glow lichen is very nice because, you know, fills in that sort of thing where it provides light in a very dark area. And now glow squid, they're well lit and can be seen from far distances, and they drop glow ink sacs when killed, which can be used on signs to make the text super visible even at night, and it works with colors, which is great. Now you can craft a glow item frame by combining a glow ink sac with an item frame at the crafting table, and any item in a glow item frame is perfectly illuminated even at night. Using an ink sac on a sign will remove the glow effect. Axolotls will attack any glow squids they see, and glow squids spawn in underground water in total darkness. That as long as they're above stone, granite, diorite, andesite, tuff, or deep slate. Now, for another big addition to the Caves and Cliffs update, we have goats, which spawn in mountains and can scale the sides of mountains because they jump very high. And they can be tempted and bred using wheat, and they're also a source of milk, like in real life, how we have goat milk. And goats will ram anything that moves, also armor stands. You know, goat milk, I've never tried goat milk before. Maybe I should in the future, but I don't know. I've only tried cow milk, and due to my hyperacidity, I can't really drink milk anymore. Because it will just, since milk is a base, it will produce a lot more acid in my stomach, so that will just make me more sick, so that kind of sucks. And two in every 100 goats have something very loud to tell you, and they will avoid walking on powder snow. Screaming goats, which is the 2%, will use the ram attack more often than other goats, and mobs rammed by goats do not retaliate. Infested blocks, now they no longer get destroyed instantly, rather they have half the destroy time of their non-infested counterpart. Lightning rods, this is another big addition. They're crafted from 3 copper ingots, which keep your build safe during thunderstorms. And the lightning rod will protect an area of 8 by 16 blocks around it from the sometimes devastating lightning strikes, and they give off a redstone signal when struck by lightning. Lightning rods are very good because Minecraft once said previously that they did not want it so that your build gets destroyed out of just a random occurrence, such as a natural disaster, which is why they're never adding natural disasters to Minecraft. And a lot of people always present lightning as something that is sort of a natural disaster when it comes to flammable materials like wood or wool, right? So the lightning rod kind of stops that from becoming an unstoppable force, right? Because, I mean, obviously, your builds could still be destroyed by something like Enderman, but if you're prepared enough, if you can kill the Enderman, then obviously you will not have that thing. Whereas lightning, you don't know when it's going to strike, and when it strikes, it's devastating, and you cannot prevent lightning, but now you can with the lightning rod, which is a great addition, I think. I think it really, really, really solves that problem. Now for the lush caves blocks, there are moss, drip leaves, rooted dirt, hanging roots, spore blossoms, cave vines, glowberries, azalea bushes. Those are the lush cave blocks, and spore blossoms can only be found in the creative inventory. Now, azalea bushes are also known as... They're not also known as anything. They're azalea bushes as well as flowering variants. And you can bone meal them to get an azalea tree. And bees see flowering azalea as flowers. Cave vines and glowberries. So cave vines grow down from the ceiling like weeping vines. And when they grow, they have a chance of producing glowberries. And they are a natural light source as well as a food source which can be eaten by foxes. You can use glowberries to plant new cave vines, and bone mealing a cave vine will create glowberries. I'm pretty sure this is exactly the same as the sweetberry, but it glows. I think it's really nice because it's another addition that is another light source in caves, which I think, once again, fills the void of, you know, caves dark, need light source, you know. Yeah, that sort of thing. Drip leaves. So these leaves have drip. They are drip leaves. Small drip leaf needs moisture, so it grows on clay or underwater. The facing direction is determined by which direction the player is facing when placing it, and the wandering trader sometimes sells small drip leaves, which grow into big drip leaves when bone mealed, and big drip leaves grow taller when bone mealed. And if you stand on a big drip leaf, it will tilt, and after a while, you will fall off. Tilted big drip leaves will tilt up again after a while, so don't worry about that. And they tilt also when hit by a projectile. However, redstone-powered big drip leaves will not tilt unless they're hit by a projectile with a dispenser or something. So I think these big drip leaves are a kind of niche thing. They're for map makers. They're for map makers, basically, because, you know, if you want to make some sort of Mario-style level, wherein if you step on the platform, it falls after a moment, you could use that. But other than that, I don't really see much use for those big drip leaves. But obviously, there will be people who will farm them and make farms out of them. So I'm excited to see those. I'm sure some have already made them. I mean, last May, I've just completely detached myself from the Minecraft community for a while, so I don't really know much about what's going on in the community. Sorry about that. But I'm sure people have already made use of them somehow. Moss blocks and moss carpets. So moss blocks can be crafted with cobblestone or stone bricks to make the mossy versions of those blocks, and moss carpet can be crafted from moss blocks. I think these are very nice for decoration, because I know that a lot of decorators use a texture pack where the grass block is just grass on all sides for natural builds, and I really like that. I like the moss carpet as well, because people have always been using green carpets to cover light sources such as glowstone or what do you call that, the what's the mushroom that emits light? Let me think about it. Spore something? I really don't remember. I'm gonna search it right now. Hold on. Wait, let me search that now. I need to know. I really need to know. Let's see. Come on. Let's try searching light emitting blocks. let's see this. Where is it? Where is the thing? Come on, there it is. Shroom light. Right. If you put like glowstones or shroom light in like grass or something to light up your place, a lot of people before used to use green carpets, but now moss carpets will be a much better variant because it actually looks like grass. Now, rooted dirt and hanging roots are decorative blocks that will appear in the upcoming Lush Caves biome, and bone mealing them grows hanging roots underneath. Tilling rooted dirt will convert it into dirt and pop out a hanging roots item. Now, spore blossoms are a large, beautiful flower placed on ceilings that has particles that permit and will appear in the air around it, which I think is really nice. I think it's great. And I'm excited to see them in the Lush Caves biome. Now, minecarts and rails, they can be waterlogged now, and flowing water does not break rails, and minecarts can pass through water, but get slowed down, which is expected. Once again, I think it's really nice for creators of maps and roller coasters and amusement parks amusement parks and such. I think it's really nice. Yeah, I really do think it's nice. So, yeah. So now, let's move on to the next one, which is oxidation. Copper will oxidize over time. There are four stages: copper, exposed copper, weathered copper, and oxidized copper. I think the name is not as funny as lightly weathered or like slightly weathered copper, you know, like yeah, cut slightly weathered copper bricks. You know, that would have been a very long and a very nice name. But no, all jokes aside, I like the new names because they're shorter and it really makes sense. Yeah. And it takes 50 to 82 Minecraft days and loaded chunks for a copper block to oxidize one stage. So let's think, right? It has three stages. At most, 82 days times three stages times 20 minutes in real life. It would take 4,920 minutes in real life to fully oxidize a copper block, which is 82 hours, which is 3 days and 4 hours, if I'm not, no. 3 days and 10 hours, sorry. 3 days and 10 hours at most to do that, which is insanely long. 3 days straight of playing. Yeah, I mean, it's not long when you're having fun, you know what I mean? And anyway, you can wax any oxidization stage using honeycombs, of course, and wax copper blocks do not oxidize. However, you can use an axe to scrape off wax and oxidation, and a lightning strike will clean oxidation. Also, wax copper blocks can be crafted into copper ingots if you want to do that. Now, powder snow. This is Minecraft's promised snowier snow, of course. It is a trap block that causes any entity that walks into it to sink in it. You can pick up and place it with a bucket, and you have to wear leather boots to prevent yourself from sinking into powder snow blocks. Leaving a cauldron outside in falling snow will fill it with powder snow, and entities on fire will now get distinguished when colliding with powder snow. However, the snow block is also destroyed. Skeletons can convert to strays when frozen, and powder snow can be pushed by pistons and sticky pistons, and they can be dispensed by a dispenser, which is awesome. Rabbits, endermites, silverfish, and foxes can walk on top of powder snow without falling in, which is pretty nice. I think it fits them because of, their type of mob. Now, freezing. Of course, if you stand on it, it will slowly freeze you or any entity inside. And once frozen, freeze damage is done every few seconds to the entity. Wearing any piece of leather armor prevents freezing entirely. And you can toggle this using the freeze damage game rule. Strays, polar bears, and snow golems are immune to freezing, and mobs that are fully frozen will shake. Mobs that enjoy the heat, specifically blazes, magma cubes, and striders, since they don't die in lava, they get increased freeze damage. Now let's move on to the redstone tab. It has been reordered to prioritize highly used blocks, and redstone items or blocks have been grouped and ordered in the following way: essentials, unique activators, miscellaneous, common activators, and openables. Slime blocks and honey blocks have been moved to the redstone tab. Smeltable ore drops. Ores that are smeltable now drop the raw item forms, of course, and you can consistently get them with fortune, like all other ores, to prevent cluttering on the inventory. And like other ore materials, you can craft a compact version to save inventory space. And now, smooth basalt. You can smelt basalt to obtain smooth basalt, or you can find it around amethyst geodes. You can use a spyglass to see faraway things, just like Optifine. You can pretend to be a sea captain, or catch your neighbor in the act as a dire sheep lie green, and it can be crafted using one amethyst shard and two copper ingots. Now, tinted glass is a type of glass that does not allow light to pass, and it can be crafted by putting a glass block in the middle of four amethyst shards. It can be obtained without silk touch, and it does not shatter like normal glass. There are some new trades for the mason, where it will sell four dripstone blocks with one emerald, and the wandering trader will sell two pointed dripstones for one emerald, two to dirt for one emerald, and two moss blocks for one emerald. Also, for loot, moss blocks can be found in shipwreck chests, and glowberries can be found in mine shaft chest minecarts. Tuff is a new type of stone that can be found in blobs between Y0 and Y16. Now, for underground structures, strongholds are now mostly encased in stone. Mineshaft corridors are supported by log pillars below or chains above when needed, and cobwebs do not generate fully floating in the air anymore. We're almost done. Visuals. Sky color now varies smoothly when moving between different biomes. Ores without unique shapes have been given new textures for accessibility reasons, so each ore is distinguishable by shape alone. Emerald and lapis ore have had some small touch-ups. Now, I've talked about this before. I love the new ore textures. I think they are stunning. And they are really nice, in my opinion. Yeah, honestly, really nice. And I think it's well-deserved, well-needed. And I like how they did not change the classic diamond ore along with the emerald and lapis, since they're just, you know, already unique enough, and they're just really good. Yeah, just classic diamond ore, you know, diamonds, right? Yeah, that meme that lasted for a very long time in that one video, you know, diamonds, Anyway. There's now some minor touch-ups to blackstone, polished blackstone bricks, and cracked polished blackstone bricks, and the clock and compass textures have been updated. I've talked about this once again. I like the new textures. Overall, they are really nice. World generation. Dripstone clusters can be found rarely in normal caves, and deep slate blobs can be found from Y0 to Y16. Now, the rest of this, it's just technical things, which I honestly have no idea about. I have no idea what they are, and this whole technical part is just insanely long. I don't want to do it. I'm sorry. Okay. Fix bugs, I don't want to do it either. Apparently it's more than 300 that were fixed, which would take forever. And anyway, Caves and Cliffs Part 2 is still in development, and it can be tried out in a new data pack, of course. And what's interesting is, the day after the release, there is a new Minecraft beta 1.17.10.22 on Bedrock. I don't want to talk about this either. Honestly, you know what? Let's talk about this. Good mythical morning. Right. Anyway, yeah. Sorry about that. Candles, they are now available and can be blah blah blah. Yeah. It can be crafted with a honeycomb and string, and, you know, the wax and the wick, and they can be combined with dye to make different colored candles. Falling anvils and stalactites now deal damage to mobs when landing in liquid. There's a bug that was fixed where players going through cobwebs take fall damage before hitting the ground. Descending through powder snow and touch controls now uses the same button as descending through scaffolding. And empty buckets can no longer be used to get fish. Axolotls now only spawn in complete darkness. Yeah, fixed bugs, etc. Character creator. Featured item thumbnails. Now remain within the featured items menu. there's the choose new skin button now shows up even when there's no imported custom skin, and it no longer disappears after selecting the slim custom option. There is a fixed issue that caused the player's head not to animate properly with emotes, and there's a known issue where using a fire charge to light objects such as candles that it may cause a crash, plus that technical stuff. Yeah, you know what? That's about it. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a very tiring time. Honestly, yeah, quite tiring indeed. You know, this whole sick thing. And for those of you that have suspicions that I'm faking it, I'm not faking it, alright? Just believe me. Yeah, just trust me. I'm not faking any of this. I really do have hyperacidity. I have like a doctor's thing as well. And I'm taking meds. So, yeah, thank you once again. And huge shout out to all of those who still listen to me. You know, I really thought I would become irrelevant after the first few episodes, after the first few months. I really thought I would just, you know, fade into obscurity or something. But apparently not. Apparently my listenership is actually rising, and my record apparently in play the number of plays is from April 29 to May 5, where I had 430 plays. That was insane. Thank you guys. Thank you to everyone. That's huge. Oh my goodness, absolutely gigantic. And apparently there have been 88 unique listeners in the last 7 days, and I have an estimated audience of 54. That's a huge number. You know, back then, I was really, really happy and amazed by the fact that 40-ish people were listening to my podcast. That was about the same size as my class. I was like, what? My whole class is listening? Anyway, my country is, back then, the country where I live, since most of the people who listen to my podcast are from my class, it was number one. But now it's on number six. Wow, right? In geographic location, the top five are now the United States, shout out to them, the United Kingdom, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. And yeah, thank you very much to those from the States. Yeah, 49%. Huge, huge percentage. Thank you very much to all of those from the States. I hope you're all doing well. I know that when my episode's all released, that's like 12 a.m. your time. Sorry about that. Huge shout out as well to those in the United Kingdom. 14%. Canada, 6%. New Zealand, 6%, and Australia, 5%. Shout out to all of you guys, all of you spectacular listeners. You're all amazing. And in terms of age demographics, I'm kind of shocked by this. The number one demographic, 35 to 44 years old, 30% of my audience. Then the number two, which is a bit more expected, 0 to 17, 24%. And then number three, 18 to 22 is 22%, and the rest is, yeah, just the rest, you know. And the majority of my audience is apparently male. However, shout out to the 19% female audience, 4% non-binary, and 3% not specified. Hello, not specified people. I hope you specify that soon.
Apparently, I got cut off at the 30-minute mark, but yeah, just to finish up the whole demographic kind of thing. Apparently, for the listening platforms, we have Spotify, 72%. Wow! Shout out to the Spotify listeners there. Google Podcast, 7%. Shout out to the Google Podcast people there. Matty Boy is a person who was who I played with for a while on A-Plays. He uses Google Podcast, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly. And Apple Podcast 4%, shout out to the Apple people there. Though I own an iPhone, though I don't own an iPhone, I do have a Mac. I do have an iPhone. I do not have an iPhone, I have a Samsung. Sorry about that to the Apple people. And 17% other. Now on devices, 25% Android. Android for the win, right? 17% iPhone, 6% smart speaker. Shout out to the Alexas and the Google Assistants over there. 4% iPad and 48% other.
Yeah.
In total, apparently, 4,633 plays. Oh my goodness, right? Huge. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. I'll definitely be celebrating once we break the 5,000 mark. Yeah, but as always, that's the end of the episode. Feel free to email me or send me a voice message for feedback. My email is thedirthutpodcast@gmail.com, thedirthutpodcast@gmail.com, and you can check out my Patreon in the episode description. Everything is in the description. So, yeah, thank you very much once again for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Goodbye. Hold on a second. Didn't I mention that, that I had an important announcement? Yes, I do. My important announcement is that I'm not sure when I'm gonna be publishing the next Dirthut episode. However, there are chances when, if in the event that I'm just super duper sick, really sick, and I just really can't record, I will skip episodes. That's just a fair warning there. There is a large chance that I might skip episodes due to my sickness. It's getting a bit worse, unfortunately, even though I've had it for over a month now. But yeah, there may be chances, but it's not guaranteed, okay? There's still hope that I'll be able to be consistent. Just hope for that, alright? Hope for consistency, and I will deliver, okay? I will do my best to deliver. Thank you very much. And yeah, thank you again for the positive feedback. I'm really just insanely uplifted by your positive feedback. You guys are the best. Great community. And yeah, that's it. Thank you once again. I just passed the 1 hour mark, apparently. Big milestone once again. Thank you very much again for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye for now.